It's Wednesday, December 19th, and the Green Bay Packers have officially been eliminated from the playoffs. However, there are two games left. We're all trying to figure out what to do with Aaron Rodgers, both for the next two games and for next year. Over to the Bucks, they appear to be turning another corner after going up and down for the last couple of weeks. And maybe Chris Middleton will finally snap out of this extended slump that he's been in. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Welcome to another edition of the Keg Podcast, episode 317.
Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie are with you. How's everybody doing? It is Wednesday, December 19th.
Wednesday.
Exactly. We're halfway through the week. I'm approaching holiday season. I will have the rest of the year off starting Friday at 1 p.m. and I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Mitch is like, you can go fuck yourself. I have work all throughout the holiday holiday season. So he's like, I hate you.
Yeah, I literally work every single day of my life, so it doesn't really...
Mitch just grinds, ladies and gentlemen. That's all he does. He's a hustler, baby. He just wants you to know.
Hashtag no days off.
Hashtag no days off.
Hashtag grind king.
You bet.
Hashtag too blessed to be stressed.
What was the one that guys used to do, Rise and Grind? Rise and Grind was what happened to Rise and Grind?
That's a classic one.
Does Rise and Grind still
people? I
still,
say that almost every day.
Right, but do like you? I don't see that on Twitter anymore.
Like
I don't
a hashtag?
See that on Instagram. No,
not really.
You don't see that from the athletes anymore. No Rise and Grind.
Tobias used to do that every fucking day.
Oh, hey, so there you go.
One F-bomb out of the way.
I had one early. We both were like, hey, you know, maybe we should clean this up a little bit for the last couple shows. Well. Here we go. That's just kind of the Tapping the Keg experience. So This is our last Tapping the Keg of the year. Mitch will be putting together a best of, basically looking back at some of the better moments of the year. If you guys can remember specific Tapping the Keg episodes where a best of moment happened, maybe a conversation that Mitch and I had that really had nothing to do with sports, because God knows we had a lot of those throughout the year, hit us up, SnowTapWI on Twitter, Mitch Ross MKE on Twitter. We'll be happy to throw those into the best of. I'm making your job harder. But if they tell you exactly which show, if they're not like, hey, remember that one time you were talking about this? Man, we can't help you there. No, you gotta literally give us like, you gotta date stamp it. You gotta at least like give us a reference point, because we'll find it. I mean, granted, the fact that we dealt with two coaches firings throughout this year, we dealt with an MVP, we dealt with a maybe soon to be MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo, we saw maybe the fall of an MVP with Aaron Rodgers, which is our first topic of the day. Did you like how I transitioned
that? That was good.
That is good. That is good right there, my friend. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers has seen a lot of the blame here on social media, on talk radio. There are the reaction to the reaction, like, is Aaron Rodgers getting too much blame? So it's all over the place.
Get the fuck
and
out!
It's so a lot. I think people have. It's tough. I wrote a blog called The Blame Game yesterday, SnowTapWI. It's a website about how, you know, I thought most of the blame went to Ted Thompson, a little bit to Mike McCarthy, and then to Aaron Rodgers. That was sort of my tiered, if you will.
The musical chairs of blame.
Well, right. But I think it was right. And I think a lot of the blame, I think we have to unpack Aaron Rodgers' season before we can really just throw him to the wolves. I think a lot of people just, you look at the star player and you immediately blame the star player. That's just common practice in any sport. If the Bucks were to hypothetically lose in the first round this year, heaven forbid, but if they were to lose in the first round, all of the blame goes to Giannis, whether it's his fault or not. If Giannis averages a triple-double, he still would, they'd find a way to blame Giannis.
Yeah.
And so it always starts at the top. It's the head of the snake. And Aaron Rodgers, because he got that big contract, he added a target on his back. all that contract did was add a target to his back.
That's where a lot of this comes from, probably.
100%, because we've talked about Milwaukeeans, we've talked about people in Wisconsin in the past. They don't really do well with highfalutin. They don't really do with elite. They have a problem with people who aren't blue collar.
Well, yeah, they have a problem. They have a problem with people who get paid to play a sport.
Absolutely. It's a and I don't know which. Could you think of a team where that doesn't matter? I think everybody sort of has that. And if they pay it off, like a guy like Khalil Mack, no one gives a shit, right? Yeah. Khalil Mack's had an amazing year, could be an MVP, whatever. But if Khalil Mack had 6.5 sacks and the Bears were a sub-500 team.
The Bears were 5-8-1.
Yeah, people would just absolutely hate Khalil Mack right now. People would be like, why do we give this guy all this money? This guy's a bum. And so you see how that works. And so that's kind of where I would start with this whole blame. And I think some of it is unjust. Do I think Aaron Rodgers had a mediocre season? Yes. I am not. I'll probably do player.
Yeah, he has the numbers, but they're not very impactful numbers. They're not.
No.
You know, when you lead the league in throwaways.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And nobody even knew that was a stat until this year.
Right, and I think people did a good. I think Fox and CBS did a good job uncovering that. Also, too, his completion percentage is in the lower fifth of the league. He's with guys like Alex Smith, Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco. I mean, guys that are not his peers. Yeah. Like, he's with the dredges of quarterbacks. Like, he's with the burnouts of quarterbacks.
Eli Mannings.
Exactly. Instead of being with, like, Breeze and I don't even really want to say, I guess, Mahomes. You always do Breeze and Brady, but, like, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are literally the Spider-Man.
Phillip Rivers, Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers, no doubt.
Those guys are good, you know.
Yeah,
Breeze.
Well, those are but I say, like, Brady isn't having the same, like, if we were doing Tabbing the Keg, but we had Boston accents and we're talking about the Pats, we would be like, is Tom Brady done? Like, is Tom Brady over the hill? And we'd be having a similar discussion, but a little bit differently shaped. So, yes, Aaron Rodgers has a long way to go, but a part of me doesn't want to throw all the blame on him. A couple things that I'd like to say. Aaron Rodgers probably lost that game for the Packers on Sunday. Yes, fine. Aaron Rodgers had a lot to do with the Packers losing that game. But how many games did Brett Favre lose for the Packers? I mean, I
have to go back and look, he probably won a lot too.
Sure. But how many games did Brett Favre throw in a costly interception down the stretch?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot, right? Aaron Rodgers really doesn't
2007 against the Giants.
Fine. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really lose you a lot of games. So for Aaron Rodgers to lose a game for the Packers, it's a weird feeling, right? It's something we're not accustomed to.
Well, and it's been happening a lot this year.
So how many games would you put on Rodgers' shoulders? Which games if you were to go back on it?
Well, I mean, if you would say this past Sunday the defense played well enough, yes.
Yep,
so
sure. This Sunday for sure. I would give you Sunday.
Not the Falcons game. They won. Who'd they play before that?
I mean, we could go through the schedule. I mean, Arizona, yeah, maybe. But Arizona, I think you could say, yeah, that probably is a Rodgers
influence. I mean, I can sit here and say all the games they've lost, you know,
okay,
pretty much.
But see, but I'd argue, okay, Ty Montgomery fumbles that football. How is that Aaron Rodgers' fault? Mason Crosby missed all the field goals against Detroit. How is that fault? How is Aaron Rodgers' fault?
Yeah, but Packers, you're asking Mason Crosby to hit 5 field goals.
No.
5 for 5.
But hold on. He didn't even need to hit 5 field goals. They only lost that game by 5 points. He makes 2 of those field goals and they win. If he's at least 40%, they win that fucking game.
They're just trash on the road.
Sure. But again, they tied Minnesota. Aaron Rodgers played probably one of his best games of the year. They put up 29 points against that Vikings team. They lost because there was a bad penalty on Clay Matthews. It's the only reason they lost that game.
They tied that game.
So I feel like, yes, the Arizona and Chicago games have clouded our sort of Aaron Rodgers vision. And do I think his mechanics are a bit off? Yeah, I do. I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that the Packers screwed up by not getting a veteran wide receiver in there or having a consistent veteran presence with Davante Adams. Now, this is not saying that I wanted Jordy Nelson back because I've been a very adamant anti-Jordy guy, and I stay that way. But instead of getting a Jimmy Graham, They should have looked at getting a, and I don't know which guy was available. I don't have that number for you. But they should have got another veteran receiver to work with these rookies, kind of like what Tremont Williams was for the cornerback position.
I mean, yeah, who's out there, though? It was Dez Bryant?
No, Dez Bryant's an obvious answer.
Martavis Bryant?
We could go through. I get that you're being snarky here, and you're trying to sort of.
There aren't anybody, though, I mean, that I can think of, but.
We'd have to page through it. I mean, there are names next year with the guys
I think your point's valid.
I'm just saying, like, you put too much reliance on rookies when you have a quarterback who couldn't practice for, like, 5-7 weeks. And so that was a terrible combination.
I mean, that literally, I think, is the reason that he's been bad this year.
100%.
Of course, the first game of the year, I thought he was done for the season when that injury happened.
Yeah, same.
And it was amazing that he came back out for, the second half?
Yep.
Maybe 5 minutes later of game time.
I mean, it was phenomenal.
And
a lot of tortoral.
And, yeah. And then he was, wearing the brace until the bye week, which was, week 9 bye or something like that?
Week 9, yeah.
He played half the season with a brace on. With zero practice, probably.
Yes, he didn't practice.
I'm Aaron Rodgers. I know the playbook, front to back. I'm just gonna roll in, and he wasn't getting the game reps, and just being hobbled all season. That killed him, I think. And now he's had the brace off for the last 4 or 5 games or whatever it's been, and it just hasn't been.
He hasn't been
himself.
And I think you're gonna see a Aaron Rodgers media tour unlike we've seen in a long time. I think he'll end up doing some Super Bowl interviews. With Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd. He doesn't like Cowherd, but you get my point. Those kind of guys.
Skip Bayless.
No, but Wingo and Golic or something like that.
For sure.
Where it might be on behalf of State Farm or something, but Rodgers will really be coming out and saying, look, this knee injury screwed me up. I was healthy enough to play, but the fact that I couldn't practice, and it's not that he's making excuses for himself, but I think he will sort of point out that I had a lot of shit going on, and it wasn't really helping me.
Yeah.
And
then you have this groin injury now that I don't even know if. I mean, when did this came out of the game from Sunday?
So if you watch that Hail Mary, he winces at the Hail Mary, overextended his sort of. It's kind of when you Bambi slide sometimes on ice, and mm-hmm. you feel like a tweak in your groin area, kind of like that. He's kind of slipped a little bit, and so he has a groin issue. Rodgers has been pretty adamant that I'm going to play, which I stood by. I was getting ahead of it and was like, you know what? DeShone Kizer should play. But the more that I've thought about, that was my immediate take. Immediately I was like, let DeShone Kizer play. Let's see if the Packers can get some value. Go ahead. My secondary take was, you know what? Rodgers needs as much time with guys like Jamon Moore, Jake Kumerow.
I thought of that.
Equanimous St. Brown and... MVS. And if Randall Cobb wants to take the next 2 games off, fine, fuck him. If Davante Adams does, I mean, obviously, Devontae's been one of the best players in football this year.
He already made the Pro Bowl. That broke today.
Good. Awesome. Thanks for that. I did not know that. So, yeah.
So did Rodgers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Pro Bowl's a joke, man.
Yeah, Pro Bowl. I don't even really. Pro Bowl's.
What if Rodgers was like, I don't even deserve to be in it. I'm not going to play.
It'd be awesome. I think a lot of people would. I think you're starting to see, though, that Rodgers.
Let me double check that, but I'm pretty sure it's those two guys.
I believe you. And I think Rodgers is humble enough to say that. I mean, I think the fact that, and I'm not saying it's calculated, but it was cool that he gets eliminated from the playoffs and the next night he's out having a pizza party with a bunch of local kids in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. I mean, and that's all part of their Packer Give Back program, but there are a lot of assholes that would have just shut it down.
Now, was that on their Snapchat at all? I didn't catch
it.
It
was on their
I saw their Snapchat.
On Instagram.
I saw the Snapchat last night was some sort of they were doing signings, I think, in the
Salvation
atrium.
Salvation Army, with Clay Matthews and Mike Daniels.
And somebody else.
I forget the third, but regardless.
Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari, yeah. But that's, to me... the fact that Rodgers was out there doing that just shows you, I just think you're going to see a very softer side of Aaron Rodgers. I think there is going to be a PR.
He's going to try to,
There's going
to
be a kind of a PR because I think his people PR will
parade.
Tell him that, look, the fans are a little bit against you. And either you can just embrace that or you need to start making yourself look like a nicer guy and not be so cerebral. because you just, I think people love the fact that you're kind of a genius, but
yeah,
it's definitely a little off-putting. And I think also, too, he's going to want to...
Well, and people think, and people that are in the locker room kind of sense that he's, like, fractured from the team.
Yes, and there was...
Especially with the constant, like, we're not on the same page. You know, me and my receivers, you know, he's not saying that specifically,
no, right,
but, you know, he was asked specifically by two guys after the game, like, you missed some, like, did you miss some throws, or is it more the, you know, and he was like, oh, no, there's definitely some missed throws in there, but for the most part, we're not on the same page. And then, you know, somebody asked him about a specific play or two, and he was like, yeah, you know, I missed that one, but, you know, and then they asked him again, and he said, that one just sailed on me. That one just caught the wind and sailed. So, I mean.
I just think he needs to, like, do what Brady used to do. Do what others do.
Because he had
do.
MVS on that post, yeah, that deep post where he just overthrew him.
You just need a Rodgers California receivers quarterback thing. Devontae's out there. He's out there. If Randall Cobb's still on the team, he's out there. And you just sort of do that. Now, do I think they, if you listen to Daily Tap from yesterday, go back and listen, I talk about how do I build this team back up. And some are, a lot of people are banging the drum. Well, they need more receivers. They need more talent on the corners. And I disagree. And I saw Ross Ulglum, who's a contributor for Cheesehead TV, say the same thing, where basically it's like they need to start by building back that guard position. Like, Lane Taylor's an average player. Byron Bell was a fucking train wreck all year. You start at guard.
Well,
he
wasn't supposed to be.
Right. It was supposed to be Justin McCray, but Justin McCray is an average. They have not done enough with guards.
What about your buddy Lucas Patrick? He's a guard.
I like Lucas Patrick, but still, and maybe this 2 weeks, we see Lucas Patrick has some legitimate potential.
You think he's just still on. He could be
just a guy. We don't know. And so, but what I was going to get to and what I got to yesterday, not to repeat myself, is that you look at the guard position was like Zach Martin and Quentin Nelson. Those are two of the best players in football, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
Not even offensive linemen, and they're guards. So that position has gained its importance throughout the year. Maybe when Ted was here originally and the Packers, might have been Ted, didn't sign Mike Wall or Marco Rivera. Was that Ted? Or was that Ron Wolf or Mike Sherman? That has to be Mike Sherman.
That
right?
was, because yeah. I think Ted ran those guys out of town.
Oh, Ted ran those guys out of town.
I believe when Ted took over, though, that's when they left.
Yeah, okay. All right. I thought so.
Because Rivera and Wall were like cult heroes around
here. Oh, yeah. Big time. Mike Wall played for the Navy, you know.
Mm-hmm. That helps.
Right, exactly. Respect the troops.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. But I think that's where you start. And Rodgers, I think, has a long way to go, but I think some of the blame...
Jason Spriggs is freaking garbage, too.
You know, I think he is not good, but he's not... He did better than I expected on Sunday. He got beat a couple times early on, but he kind of settled in and was okay.
So I was at the radio station on Sunday.
Yes.
Talking to Ryan Horvat.
Sure.
Another Fib that's a Packer fan.
Is he a friend of the... Would you say he's a friend of the program? Does he listen?
Probably. I don't know if he listens, but...
Ryan, you should listen.
He could start. Maybe I'll put a bug in his ear.
Yeah, tell him you got a shout out.
This was heat of the moment, very much heat of the moment, hot take.
Yeah.
But he was like, there's no likable players in this team. He's like, they all suck. Except for like Rodgers and Devontae.
So we're at like a Bucks / Brewers of like a couple years ago where we just were like...
I think I said to him, I'm like, this is like me when I watch a Bucks game.
Yeah.
That's you right now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I hate everyone except for like that's the only guy who's worth a damn.
It's like, good morning to everybody. Good morning to no one except Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Pretty much.
And
he can make me mad sometimes.
I think the Packers have some likable guys. I just think there's been way too much misfires, and part of the reason that I blame Thompson is he let too many guys. You look at that 2014 team. It's been a while since I've looked at that team.
So 2014 would have been
when they lost the Seahawks. And
yeah.
You had Micah Hyde. Had Casey Hayward. You had Tremont Williams, who's still playing football. You have Julius Peppers, who's probably washed as a 3-4. He's more a 4-3 guy at this point.
Yeah, but he was still all right. And a leader in the clubhouse.
Exactly, exactly.
Or whatever you call it, locker room.
Morgan Burnett's been kind of okay, nothing special. But playing for a playoff team in Pittsburgh.
I shouldn't have forgot about him because the safety position's been so bad for the Packers.
Yeah, but would they have been that much better with Morgan Burnett? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
And now you want to take an Alabama, and now people are pegging them to take another Alabama safety. I think if you want to talk about worst case scenario for just Packer Twitter, just completely and sports radio
meltdown.
Oh, if they take Deontay Thompson from Alabama,
yeah, then there has to be, you can look and say Eddie Jackson,
right? I mean, exactly. You have to do a significant spin of like, this guy isn't fucking haha. I promise you, just he's not haha Clinton Dix.
Well, haha is still haha even in Washington, so.
Right? Oh yeah, that
it's not like he's
if you went to a different
greener pastures.
Look at him running away from Saquon Barkley,
right?
As instead of tackling him,
yeah, and so. He's got to face that guy a couple times a year.
Oh, that sucks.
Unless they let him go, but yeah, I believe he is a free agent, right?
Yeah. He is a free agent. You're absolutely correct.
He could retire, too.
Nah, he won't. I think there's... So, Packers play the Jets this week. I guess the thing you hope for... I think Rodgers is going to play. It doesn't seem like he's not. I think by now we would have known that Rodgers isn't playing. If there was an indication, they would say Rodgers isn't playing. I guess you...
Well, we'll see with the injury report.
I guess we'll know today. You're right, because we're taping this Tuesday night. We'll know Wednesday
afternoon.
Today, afternoon, if he's playing, basically. I think he'll play. I think the Packers don't want to lose out on the road. I think there is a sense of pride for them not to lose out on the road. And Mark Tauscher mentioned it on Wilde and Tausch yesterday about how if you're with a team that has a long record book, you know of all these records. You're cognizant of all these records. He's like, we didn't want to be the first team that lost at Lambeau Field in the playoffs. He's like, now granted, it happened with Mike Vick, but it... You know, you don't want to be, they don't want to be coupled with the 1978 Packers being a winless road team. And they have a very beatable opponent in the New York Jets.
I think as long as Rodgers plays, they'll win.
Yes.
I think it's not a Falcons type. It might be. I mean, I think the Jets are bad.
Yeah. The Jets are just burnable. I think Devontae Adams could have just an absolutely cracker of a game. Like, do you watch what DeAndre Hopkins did against them? He had 10 catches, 170, and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he had his way. And at the defense, the problem with the Texans, the reason that game wasn't a blowout is they just couldn't finish drives. Like, they had a bunch of field goals, and they let the Jets crawl back in. I mean, Sam Darnold's good, but I do kind of like the Packers secondary almost more than the Texans. Texans just have old guys. So guys like Robbie Anderson are able to get extend downfield. So I do think the Packers could do just fine against the Jets. I have no qualms about that.
But
that
if Deshaun Kaiser plays, they probably won't get more than 10 points.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
if Deshaun Kaiser plays, just load up on the under and just take it and don't even think about it.
Yeah.
So I have the Packers winning. Let's just say Rodgers plays. I think the Packers will win. I think it'll be, I don't know, 27-17 game. I think you'll see some things from Sam Darnold that are likable. I think Mike Patton can really frustrate Darnold too and force him into a few turnovers, as he's been better about it of late, but still it's tough.
Patton, that's Patton's former employer as well.
That is true. There is probably a little bit of that revenge for him.
I'll go, if Rodgers plays, I'll go 30-13.
Okay, so very similar to
Rodgers
Atlanta.
Doesn't play, Jets 20, Packers 10.
Hopefully it'll be better than the famous...
Because they'll get a pick six.
Hopefully it'll be better than the famous 9-3 game that the Packers and Jets played on the 2010 Super Bowl year. Do you remember that one?
Was that end of the season?
No, actually. It was in October. I remember it strongly because there are some classic lines that I will not share with you on a Taco Bell trip. That was in college, obviously, and we settled down to watch that game all hungover from Halloween, and there was only 12 total points scored. Like, it was a wind, like, the whole stadium was a wind tunnel. The Jets were actually pretty good, and so the Packers won 9-3.
Mark Sanchez, right?
Yeah, it was Mark Sanchez. You're right, because the Jets got all the way to the championship game that year, and they lost to Pittsburgh. So there was nearly a rematch in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I remember the Buffalo game that year because I was there.
Oh.
It was a week two in Lambeau Field.
Right.
It was like 52-10 or something.
That was a good one. And the other advantage of Packers being shit is you have a decent schedule next year. You get San Francisco with Jimmy G, but who knows how Jimmy G will be. And you also get, who's it looking like? Atlanta again. And who knows where Atlanta will be. So they do have a tough
Atlanta could be good.
Right, and so could San Francisco. The whole NFC is good. the whole NFC is like good. Yeah. Like there are top to bottom, the NFC is way better than the AFC.
Well, the AFC's terrible. There's two teams that are consistently good every year.
I think the AFC is just way more untrustworthy. And
even Pittsburgh is like really weird.
Can you I don't know. Can you how
Willy,
many,
Willy weird.
How many AFC teams can you trust? Like legitimately trust? Like the
like
Chiefs.
None of them. Literally none of them.
No, right? The Chiefs. Because how many times have the Chiefs fucked the bed in the play or shit the bed? That's not fucked the bed. Shit the bed in the playoffs.
A lot. Andy Reid's an issue.
Oh my
and
God. And how
the Chargers,
and
I don't trust
Chargers.
You can't trust them as far as you can throw them. I mean, no. they've been a historically great regular season team.
Are we
and
sure?
And then shit the bed in the playoffs.
Can Anthony Lynn coach in the playoffs? I mean, come on. Are we really going to buy into the Houston Texans and Bill O'Brien in the playoffs? Are we going to?
Keenan Allen's hurt too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Texans, no, they're unproven. Who else do you have? Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's the dumbest team in the league.
Oh yeah, and then there's the Patriots, and who knows what's going on with the Patriots right now?
You can trust them though, I think.
Oh yeah. They had 14 penalties last Sunday.
So what?
That's a ton. For the Patriots, there were so many things about that game where I was like, I could not believe that Brady interception where he just kind of tossed it up for grabs, very Favre-like. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I like audibly
gasped. Yeah, I mean,
gasped.
That's a bad look to go lose to Pittsburgh. I'll give you. Because Pittsburgh has lost to the Oakland Raiders.
Yes.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, I believe.
No, they squeaked that game out.
That's right.
They
squeaked
that
one out.
Though.
Should have lost it. Blew it. In Denver.
Yes. Yes.
Who is lost to the Browns.
How about Denver taking a field goal, being up 17-13? We were at the bar. Shout out to Malone's. Mm-hmm. And they take that field goal, and I was just like, what are you doing, Vance Joseph?
Yeah. I could have seen it just because you put yourself where you can win the game if you get the ball back. But it's a big if.
Okay. So, and as I mentioned on Daily Tap yesterday, but to reinforce, we really need Philadelphia to sneak into the playoffs because I really do not want a wild card weekend where I have to watch Dallas, Seattle, Minnesota, and Chicago. I cannot think of a worse foursome. Like,
yeah, that's
that is an awful foursome.
That is Packer fans just seeing red all day.
That's like an orgy with a bunch of old women. Like that is that's how I would describe.
That's the four most hated teams. I got to think for Packer fans.
I said it. It's a cyanide pill. Like, that's, like, I think I'd rather chug bleach than if you had told me you have to cheer for one of these teams. I just, like, give me poison.
But guess what? Big Dick Nicks is walking through that door.
Exactly. So you bet.
They started off with a shocking win in L.A., who the Rams are suddenly, like,
oh,
what the fuck's going on?
I had the Rams, you know. I don't know why I put.
I think Sean McVay literally turned into God.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden he's just
his ass got crowned, and all of a sudden it's like, oh,
like he literally was God for the first 12 weeks of this season.
Exactly.
It was like this: if you would pay this guy $100 million a year to be your coach, he is the, you know, yeah, you got his ass crowned. He is the creme de la creme of coaches. Who everybody wants. He's who everyone we need to go get the young guy now. We need to get the offensive mind together, the young quarterback with the young head coach. And now, for some reason, all you got to do is play the Bears, and everybody
Bears,
thinks you stink.
Bears might have figured him out. And the fact that I loaded up on...
They spooked Jared Goff, probably.
The fact that I loaded up on the Rams minus 13, basically because I saw that even line, and I was like, oh, that's juicy, because I was like, I can basically win my money back. I don't have to give up any juice. Everyone's betting on the Eagles. And I did the same thing with Appalachia State the night before, and it worked out well for me. So I was like, all right, let's do this again. Did not work the same way. So just a little lesson there. Trust your gut sometimes. But moving on to the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they have had an interesting sort of 2 weeks. We last year a lot would talk about this roller coaster. And a lot of the things of the NBA season is a roller coaster. There's peaks, there's
valleys.
Well,
I mean, you know, in the NFL, if you lose to a bad team, it's called parity. In the NBA, it's called something else.
It's like
it's run, called it's called They Don't Try.
It's like Run for the Hills and Freak Out because.
Well, no, it's just, it's called They Don't Try.
Well, right. So. It's like, but
they didn't try hard enough.
But
they didn't want to win.
People never consider like, oh, it's their third game in four nights. It's their fourth and six. It is.
It's
you know,
the Suns have suddenly won three in a row, and
yeah,
we're playing
exactly,
them.
Right? The Suns you know? Are, the Suns got Devin.
Since Greta went after the owner, they haven't lost.
Exactly. Greta, what a bad bitch. Greta is awesome. Greta, oh, yeah. Save our Suns.
That was about a week ago, and I was Greta dying edition. Listening to that.
Oh, yeah. She.
Our owner is so tight, he squeaks.
She put Robert Sarver in a fucking blender. I loved it. So
they don't look at, well, Emmanuel Mudiay, who's about a 15% three-point shooter, just made six in a row.
Yes.
You know.
And
they don't look at Stanley Johnson, who's a 28% three-point shooter, just made four in a row in the fourth quarter.
As part of the Human Resources Department of the Bucks Killers Club, I will be reviewing both Stanley Johnson and Reggie Bullock's resumes for future, and we have our eyes on them to deem them.
You know, Reggie Bullock doesn't bother me as much because I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
If I was a GM, he'd be on my team.
Sure. Kevin O'Connor actually.
I'd trade Chris Middleton for him.
Okay, stop. I told you I wasn't going to bring that up. And if you bully me into this, I will bring it up. So that is your first warning. Because I apologized. I said
I just put the cheese down in the trap.
I overdid it at the bar. So now I have to tell everybody.
Yeah, might as well.
So yeah, you fucked up here. So we're out. Well, it was before that even. But basically, Mitch had told me that he would have traded Chris Middleton for Trevor Ariza.
Okay. I'll let you finish,
and
but
other,
then I'll correct you.
Josh Jackson. And,
well, yes, I said I would have listened.
Yeah.
You leave out that part.
Right.
But there's a difference between saying I would do it.
But I was basically like the Dr. Phil gif, where I was just kind of like shook that you'd even think that. And then I brought it up again when I was drunk at Malone's, and I just started ripping into Mitch, and I felt bad. I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. But like I told him, there was a bartender who was fairly attractive, and you know, I don't get a lot of chances to impress women anymore.
I just think that Ariza is,
you know, just trying to make a case for myself.
You know, and we looked at the numbers, and I wish I would put him face.
She wasn't that impressed with me, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, of course not.
She give a shit.
I don't have the numbers head to head. I would like to put them together, but you know, I don't think I'd do it. But it's just one of those where it's like. For content and
I think
purposes.
You're just trying to be funny and trying to get ruffle
well, yeah,
my feathers.
A little bit. There's certainly a lot of that.
A lot of sometimes things Mitch does.
Pulling a deli, just getting
yeah,
exactly. under your skin.
You do deli me a lot. You just undercut me and just sort of ruffle. Just sort of get my feathers rolling.
Well, yeah, just do enough to get you pissed off and then come up to you and pull my mouth guard out and say, hey, how you doing?
Then it's like, you motherfucker.
Hugs and hand pounds after the game.
Exactly.
Oh. Even though I hate, you know.
Exactly. Hugs and hand pounds, but it's like, yeah, I hate you. I hate your guts.
That's Giannis right there.
Exactly.
Hugging Deli and turning around saying, fuck that guy.
So,
nah, we'll miss Deli.
Of course. Deli's showing out, though, for the Cavs. He's been playing well.
As Marcus has said in the two games he's done against the Cavs, oh, now you want to start making threes.
Marcus is the best.
Yeah,
Marcus had a good Marcus had a good line. I cannot think of it. He was good last night. He was just about fed up with Blake Griffin and his theatrics.
Well, yeah, who wasn't?
But great win for the Bucks, and now they've won four of their last.
They actually
five.
Played really well. I mean, against Detroit,
it was a really impressive victory.
I mean, I know that it got close, and they actually surrendered the lead momentarily.
Yeah,
but you know they weathered the storm and. You know, if they played great for three quarters, I mean, and then, you know, I stopped watching for about 5 minutes, turned on the TV again, and they were, like, losing.
Yeah,
like,
all of a sudden it was a ball game. Yeah,
it went from 15 to 4. And I was
streaming
like,
the game, making dinner, and then I was like, putting the fidget, touching on dinner, wanting to close out my stream, and it was like, oh, God, now we have a basketball game again. And they,
the Pistons just started to make shots.
Yeah. And a part of the Bucks got to get better at sort of slamming that foot on the throat. We've talked about that before, and you know I think that's the.
I mean, they have like the biggest win margin in the league, so
right.
I'm not necessarily worried about that.
No,
but, you know it's tough to win on the road, and Detroit's not a pushover. I know.
No,
half of you know Wisconsin thinks they are.
No,
but,
they're a playoff team as of today.
I mean, they're gonna make the playoffs.
Yeah, probably.
So and you know, but guys like Brook Lopez was you know you skim the box score, you're gonna be like. But he was fucking awesome.
The Bucks are officially a bad matchup for the Pistons in the playoffs and a team that I'd want to play in the playoffs because Brook Lopez is such a game changer against Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. Those guys have had some massive games against the Bucks in the past.
And for whatever reason, it was Sterling Brown and DJ Wilson that were shutting down Blake. I know people are going to say he had a triple-double, but he had freaking like 11 turnovers. Yeah. He was terrible.
I don't know if I could find it because I saw it. But there was a great, I forget the guy's name, but he did a video of the Vince McMahon gif excited.
It's the Justin dude from the Bucks Reddit.
With DJ
Wilson.
He
did some funny stuff, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, no, DJ was good. And somebody asked me today, he's like, do you think they're trying to put DJ in the rotation or just showcasing him for a trade? And I'm like, well, I hadn't thought of it. I mean, I think I got to assume at this point they're just trying to get something out of it.
I think they might be done. I mean, we talked about last week, we talked about how you were kind of done with Thon. And now I almost am wondering, are the Bucks done with Thon?
Well,
because
DJ can,
if DJ is what they wanted Thon to be, then what's the use of Thon?
No.
I don't know if that's the case.
Thon's
but,
probably a better three-point shooter, though, and I think that's more. And he's more of a center.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting test for DJ against New Orleans because you do face.
I mean, neither one of them is your dad's center,
right? But, exactly. I mean, you do face Anthony Davis now. Grant, Anthony Davis is goddamn unstoppable against anybody, even Giannis.
I saw something on Instagram last night that he's like got the fourth best player efficiency rating of all time.
I believe that.
Like of all players,
He's incredible. The guy is.
Yeah, and you know, nobody talks about him because he plays in a smaller market than Milwaukee.
And now, you've heard the rumors that, like, basically the Celtics and Lakers are both going, just fighting like hell to acquire him. And
yeah, he's going
to
LA.
See, and that, it's weird though, because, like, everything you talk about, like, Russillo's talking about how, like, he is very loyal, Giannis like, about New Orleans, and he's not, he really isn't.
See, but he's got some quotes out there, though, that are, like, not so loyal.
Yeah, but also, too, he wanted to bring Boogie back to New Orleans, and if New Orleans is, like, sits him down and,
I just think, like, New Orleans is always hurt. They're always banged up. They just can't get a full, like, seven-man rotation where they're not hurt.
And that's a great point. So the Bucks and Pelicans play tonight. They will not have Nikola Mirotic, thank God. Or Julius Randle.
Yeah, they're going to have to make up 9 threes for Mirotic. So
yeah, exactly.
That'll be tough.
And the Pelicans' problem this year has been inconsistency. They've alternated wins and losses, I think, for the last 8 or 9 games. They're brutal on
much like the Bucks.
They're brutal on the road. They've only won 2 or 3 games on the road this season. They've done all their dirty work at home. So there's a lot of, you know, problems. And they've not been able to solve the fact they have nobody that can score on the wing. So you're looking for Chris Middleton to sort of break out continually. He had a decent game against Detroit. Nothing
special.
Yeah,
no, I mean, the PR machine of Fox Sports Wisconsin was trying to make Chris Middleton sound like he's going to make the All-Star team again.
I mean,
when he was 4 for 8 or whatever.
Jim Paschke could probably. It's
like, yeah, he didn't suck last night.
Jim Paschke could probably do a political campaign for any of the Bucks.
He's really good at that.
Oh, wow.
Chuck, he's been spinning this organization for
the
better part of 30
years.
Years.
And he's like, psh.
Yeah, this is literally a piece of cake
this
for him.
This is easy. Exactly.
Yeah, he can sit back and relax now.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to fight Bucks fans all the time.
This is easy street.
Doesn't have to spin, you know, Marquise Daniels or something.
Yeah, it'd be nice, though.
Doesn't have to spin a Tobias Harris trade.
Also true. God love him, but let's keep Johnny Mack off a Bucks-Pelicans game. It's kind of a good game. Let's save Johnny Mack for the Wizards, okay?
You don't like Johnny? I mean,
Johnny just...
He annoys me, too.
It's his past his prime, okay?
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't understand today's NBA. He, like...
It kind of sucks that we can't get Marcus for 82 games.
If you watch... Well, he lives in LA.
He
travels.
He does other things, and it just stinks that we can't just pony up, you know? You'd pony up for Gus Johnson. He couldn't have come cheap.
No, but I think I think it's partly a personal preference. I don't think he wants to live here.
I don't think he does either.
So, and I don't blame him. So
he just sticks around for
games
here and there.
I'm sure he has a hotel slash condo.
Apparently he like, I was reading, you know, in the bowels of the Bucks, you know, fan boards,
yes,
and everything that he's, you know, he gave up a morning show in LA to come do this, and but he still lives there and like coaches his son or something. Or,
oh wow, so
you know,
yeah,
I don't
know.
So he basically
like,
he has a life too. So
I will say though that Johnny Mack's better than Steve Novak. Steve Novak is brutal.
Steve's not there yet.
Steve has a lot of work to do. Yeah. I agreed. I haven't heard Tony Smith on the Marquette radio, so I can't make a judgment on if
heard
Tony
it once,
Smith
not good.
Been, not good. Not good.
Yeah. So, I thought he talked too much.
Okay. Good to know. keep that.
I just feel like you shouldn't be, especially on the radio.
Oh, no.
Where people can't see what's going on. You shouldn't be talking over the play-by-play guy.
Not to talk ill of the dead, but that was a lot of things that Davey Nelson would do. Remember when Davey Nelson, when Uecker got sick,
yeah.
Davey Nelson was on radio? And, like, again, I'm not trying to talk. I feel weird talking about a dead guy, but, like, he was so bad on radio.
Mm-hmm.
He was so bad.
Yeah. So. And you had Daryl Hamilton, too.
Daryl Hamilton used to was be, good, but he was a good radio.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
He did well, but RIP to Daryl Hamilton as well. Now, that was a crazy one. He got murdered, right?
Yeah, something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
by like probably, his ex-wife or something.
Not, yeah, maybe that's another documentary. There's like those podcast documentaries about Steve McNair's death that like is really popular. It's like one of the top podcasts of the year about how Steve McNair died.
Wow.
So it was a big Air McNair guy back in the day. I don't know where we are.
We're off the rails.
That's for sure. Here's the thing. This is how it goes, man. This is our podcast. This is why I love doing this every week with you. It's because you really never know what route we go. We were talking about Bucks announcers and we ended up on Steve McNair's death.
Yeah.
There you have it. So all right. To sort of put a note, so like I said, this is our last Tapping the Keg. We'll get a best of. Just with the holiday schedule, I'll be doing daily taps. I'll be doing some weekend watch list stuff. TBD on if Partimer's Fantasy will be with us this week with the holiday season. I have no idea. But I will ask you before you play us off, who do you think won 2018 for the state of Wisconsin? Would you say it's Christian Yelich? Would you say it's Giannis? Would you say it's somebody else? Who do you think won the year if you had to give the belt?
Christian Yelich.
So you think it's Yelich over Giannis? Interesting.
Yeah, I think that Christian Yelich was, you know, basically single-handedly got the Brewers to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Down the stretch there.
Yes.
And then he was, you know, not great in the playoffs, I guess. He wasn't MVP level in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think that he single-handedly got them to where they wanted to be, and now they have to build off of it, and we'll see if they can.
Yeah, I'd probably give it to Yelich as well. Who do you think lost the 2018 year for all of these sports?
Aaron Rodgers, probably.
Ooh, that's spicy.
Yeah, I mean,
I would say Jason Kidd, because I thought Kidd had a golden opportunity to basically take this team into the future and be this absolute sort of
wagon
and hero, and the guy just fucked it up.
Yeah,
and I guess what, I'm not sorry for it. So
yeah, maybe that's harsh for me to say Aaron Rodgers because I don't think the Packers are that good.
No, you booked that in the podcast beautifully there.
Yeah.
So all right, well, we'll be back in the new year, 2019.
See you in 2019.
Oh God, you cute monkey.
I do the same thing every year.
Oh, I hate you. All right, take care of yourself. Stay safe over the holidays. Don't do anything we want to do, which isn't a lot. You see us out, let us buy you a beer. All right, take care of yourselves. Have a good one.
Peace.
Bye.